Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Oh, hi. I'd like to apply for a loan so I can consolidate some of my debts.
Sure. Do you own your home?
Yes. But Carl, our resident ghost, keeps saying it's his house and we should get out.
Okay. But you are the registered owner.
Yes.
Then you're approved.
Hey, hear that, Carl? Huh?
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Go to alpinecredits.ca to get started. Some conditions apply.
FSRA license 12616.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Buddy Craig Button will join us here in a moment. The return of Matthew Tkachuk to Calgary tonight.
Yeah.
And
How about Coco? Coco had the audacity. The audacity this morning to say, they're not going to boo him. Are you kidding me? He was almost talking like Tkachuk did them a favor. He goes, yeah, he goes, they did him a favor. You know, he just said he was going to go somewhere else. I go, Carlo, I had to call into the show. I told AK, I'm like, call me. I'm like, what are you talking about? They are going to boo him from the time he walks in. He's going to get Ben Simmons and Philly treatment.
I'd like, be disappointed if they didn't. I really would. I love Matthew Tkachuk as a player.
So do I. I love the whole family.
Yeah.
But he's getting booed in Calgary. It's a given.
He has to.
Yes. It's not a bad thing. I mean, you know, we've experienced it. Obviously, Kawhi brought a championship. It's a little bit different. But this is a player who had a career year, him and Johnny Gaudreau, and they chose to move on. So the fan base isn't going to go, you know, congratulations, you moved on, you're making a ton of money in Florida. The fan base is going to feel like they should. They feel a little bit, what would the word be, scorned?
Jaded,
like
yeah,
jaded.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, he effectively, you know, circumvented the system to demand a trade out.
Dude, he told the Canadian market, Hayes, that he doesn't dig it. It's not his jam.
I'm not playing here.
I'm not going to play here. I don't like it enough to want to spend multiple years here.
Right.
And I'm going to do it on my terms, which, full credit, he got what he wanted. Like,
and he's been
only got one career.
He's
a stud. He deserves it all. Yeah. But when you're the market that's in Canada that he says that to, you are pissed.
Well, yeah,
pissed.
He spent 9 years of his career there, and he's a guy, or 9 years with the organization, I believe, eight years. But he's a guy who, to me, I think he did it the right way. Like, he didn't, you know, hold
Noodles,
them hostage.
He didn't hold them hostage.
He just called them up and said, "I'm not going to extend."
Which is totally
straight up.
Fine.
But they're still going to be pissed.
That's the thing. It's different. Like, you could say if you're the management. Did you a favor, gave you a heads up, I'm not walking for free. Like, I'm, you know, basically, I think the team probably gave him an ultimatum. Said, with the Gaudreau stuff, we got to get an answer here. He gave you the answer. You pulled off a trade you really like, so much so that you gave Huberto an 8-year deal immediately, and then you got Uyghur, you know. So, yeah, if you're the team, but I don't think the fans look at it that way. You know, I think, like, that's a nuanced approach. Like, Craig's coming up. Craig lives in Calgary. He's got a read on the town. Right. I was a little bit surprised that Oilers fans were booing him last night because he broke the hearts of their arch rival. Like, shouldn't they love Tkachuk now? Because he burned the flames? You know what I mean? Like, it's somehow of a reverse kind of psychology. Yeah.
Like, good job, bud. You screwed over the flames.
Yeah, like, hey, we like you now. That's great. Good to see you, Tkachuk. Like, we hate the Flames, and you screwed them over. Or you didn't screw them over, but you wanted out.
Right.
And you left them, and they were scorned, and they were unhappy, and they had self-esteem issues. And now
it's like somebody jammed up the Yankees and screwed them over somehow. The next time you went to Boston, I think the Boston Red Sox fan would love that dude.
Yeah.
They would.
I think that's a legitimate question. Shouldn't people in Edmonton really like Matthew Tkachuk now?
Yes.
Like, shouldn't they like him?
Well, I mean, technically,
they hated him when he was a Flame. I get that.
Because of the Cassian, because of him going after McDavid and Draisaitl and that, but he's not in their conference anymore. Like, I think they should be happy that he's gone.
He's gone. He's gone, and he told Calgary he didn't want to be a part of their future. So, yeah, I think they got it backwards in Edmonton, but Edmonton ended up coming back and winning that game in overtime. Tkachuk scored the first goal. He gave it the year. You know, who's talking now? And, like, he plays the role to perfection, you know, and he can back it up because he's playing so well. He's putting up great numbers. Like, he's lapping, like, Barkov right now in terms of point production.
Dude, that team better get their act together, though.
Big
time. They're flirting.
Them and the Rangers are flirting. Like, those are the two teams in each division in the East that were locks to make the playoffs, and they haven't been so good.
Yeah, they are missing Barkov. Like, Barkov's got – he's sick or something. Like, they're keeping him away from the team. I don't know if you read that the other day. Like, he's got a mysterious illness or whatever, and they're – like,
isn't
he's not
COVID
even traveling
noodles?
With the team. Well, is it – did they report
– I don't know, but if a guy is away for a week and he doesn't even travel, isn't that kind of COVID?
Maybe you should street clothes meme Barkov. Why don't you do that?
Exactly.
Why am I the only guy that gets hit with a street clothes
meme? You
should
have seen the abuse yesterday. It was like – one guy tweeted in. He's like, God, does that guy ever turn a Monday into a three-day weekend?
How am I supposed to pick the day?
Dude, I know, but do you know how many chirps you got? Because it's wow, just amazing how it's always a Friday or a
Craig never misses shows. Craig is always on. He never misses shows. I'll
tell
you that.
Craig rarely ever misses anything. That's very true.
And
he joins us now here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's our good buddy, our TSN hockey analyst, Craig Button. How you doing, Craig?
I'm good. Hey, Barkov heard it was going to be like minus 45 degrees out in Western Canada, so it's one of those... I'm going to stay in the sun in Florida and miss that Western Canada trip.
I like it. A personal
Craig, did you
thing.
Ever have a player, like, did you, I only saw it once where a guy was like, yeah, I got a bit of a chest cold. I can't go tonight. You were the GM. Did you ever, like, go down to the coach's office and say, what the hell's wrong with that guy? And you actually got, like, sniffles or something outrageous?
Yeah, we had that. It happened in the minors a few times, Jeff, when I was in Dallas with a few players. I'll keep the players nameless, but we did have a player that was playing for us, and literally, this is what he said. He goes, I'm not really feeling so good. And the coach said to him, he goes, well, I'm not feeling so good either. Does that mean I can't coach tonight? He goes, it's different. You don't have to play. And let me tell you this. He was in his first year in the minors. He was in his first year in the minors. I don't think that kid played for another 17 games. He got to sit out and just sit back and do nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a pretty quick message, I would think, to management. Just not feeling it tonight. But
I can't believe that he came back, but you don't have to play. He didn't. The coach says to him, well, I'm not feeling good. He didn't even get the message. Yeah, but you don't have to play.
Yeah. Well, I guess he was being literal when he had that response, but it's probably not the answer the coach or
Craig,
you were looking
you're
for.
In Calgary. What do you think the reaction for Tkachuk is tonight?
I think at the beginning, they'll put up a video out there for him, a nice little video, and I think they'll be polite. And then after that, they'll boo him every time he touches the puck.
Yep.
I mean, it'll be civil like that. You know, it's funny. I was watching the game last night, and I'm thinking about poor Matthew. I mean, every time he's on a team that gets a lead against the Oilers the last 4 months, they end up losing the game. And, you know, he can put his hand to his ear. I can only say this. The Edmonton Oilers fans they didn't hear from him last year in the playoffs.
Right.
Against them.
No
so,
kidding.
I'm not so sure he had the last say last night. It seems to me Edmonton had another laugh on Matthew. And I love Matthew. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here to jump on Matthew. But, bottom line is, That was a messy series last year, and then they lose again last night.
Yeah, it was. It was, and I mean, we were talking about Florida really not off to a great start. The Rangers on the other side of it, in the Metro, not off to a great start. I mean, it's not early anymore, is it, Craig? Like you can't use the U.S. Thanksgiving as the line, and then we get past that, and you apply the early excuse to teams that don't want to hear it. I mean, we're well into the season at this point.
Yeah, well, you know, I was listening to Dale Sutter yesterday talk about, like, you know, we're not scoring. Yeah, they aren't. They're not paying the price. Jeff and I talked about it last night on That's Hockey. And then they're simply not ready to get a little bit dirty. Forget about getting a lot dirty. They don't even want to get any little bit of dirt under their fingernails. So that you're not going to score there. Rangers blew another lead. They blew it Saturday. They blew it last night against New Jersey. You know, I love what Shesterkin said. He said the goalie wasn't very good. In fact, he used even stronger words than that. And, you know, right now the Rangers look like they're reeling. The Calgary Flames don't look like they can find their game. Like, it looks like they're trying to play a good defensive game and trying to find their way offensively, but there's not a lot of – I don't see a lot of drive in Calgary's game in and around the offensive net. And You know, for the New York Rangers, if you look at their forwards, they have four forwards that are contributing, and the rest of them aren't giving them very much in any regard. I mean, it's one thing to have a lead. Well, then the other players got to get out there and help you, you know, sustain that lead. They're not doing that either, and then other guys just aren't scoring. It's kind of messy in there in New York right now.
Yeah.
Craig, I don't know if you've ever met with players individually for performance reasons. I knew that if I had to go meet Jimmy Rutherford or John Ferguson, it was not a good thing individually. How far away in Calgary with Huberto, the way he's playing, would he be from one of those meetings? Because he is doing nothing out there. And I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, he's pissed off that Florida did that or whatever, but it's just, it ain't happening, and he ain't moving, and he ain't doing nothing. How far away would he be from, if you acquired him and gave him the money, just saying, it's time to get your head out of your rear end here?
Yeah, Jeff, you know, and you touched on it again last night on That's Hockey, one of the best That's Hockey ever produced and performed on for everybody listening.
Was,
if you wanted to watch the rerun, it was unbelievable. Anyway, you know, like, you know, Jeff, you nailed it. Put on your work boots and get to work. Jimmy Playfair always used to say, hey, listen, you know what? Those work boots, lace them, put them on, lace them up, and get working. And that's what Huberto has to do. He looks hesitant. He looks unsure of himself. Well, okay, so then you're unsure of yourself with the puck. Get working then. Get jamming and driving and doing some of those things. And, I mean, $84 million, if that gets a player mad after he's getting traded, geez, I'd hate to see what makes him happy, you know, like, you know, with respect to Huberto. Jeff, I always felt that when there was a time to talk to a player, and there's those moments, I always wanted to do it on the player's turf. I'd always say, hey, listen, let's go have a coffee somewhere. Where do you have coffee in the morning? Do you want to go have breakfast? Where do you have lunch or whatever? I always wanted to try to, you know, try to reassure a player, hey, you're a good player. What are the things you need to do to be a good player? And try to give them a little bit of positive reinforcement in those moments. I never felt like when a player isn't going good, I don't think you have to tell a player he's not going good. I think you have to remind them. And so I never felt that it was, you know, in the best interest to have a player have to hear from me on my turf. I always wanted to talk to them and on their turf and everything. So that was just my methodology. But, you know, I think that, you know, it was more when players or people, whoever was around you, it was more when you knew they could give more, or they were being, you know, lackadaisical or whatnot, that you would kind of just try to snap them. Hey, you're better than that. Be better. You know, and that might just be a quick little comment as you're passing them in a hallway, right? But in the serious matters, I think that, like with Huberto now, I think it's about sitting down with him and trying to, you know, let him know, hey, listen, there's areas you got to be better in, and we expect you to be better. But that's how I would always approach it.
With Craig Button here on Overdrive. So the Leafs win again last night. That's 4-0 on the road. Mitch Marner with points in 17 straight. I saw you go off script on that award-winning That's Hockey last night, Craig, talking about his year back in junior and what the Hunters had him going through. And, man, is he playing well. And I'm curious, you know, in late November, where he ranks for you in terms of impact players around the league. And if there was a Hart Trophy to be handed out 20 games in, is he in the top 10 for you, top 5? I mean, how well is he playing, in your opinion, and what is he bringing to the Leafs?
Well, let's look at everything he's done. First of all, they're undefeated since Morgan Riley went down. And I mean, so they're shorthanded on the blue line. And all Mitch Marner has done is help them win through those games. He's not the only one, but he certainly led the way. 17-game point streak is pretty significant. So when you look at, you put those things combined, and we're not talking about a player that hasn't been good in the National Hockey League. Certainly the first team all-star right winger speaks volumes. Right now, top five. He gets a top five vote for me for MVP. I mean, bottom line, you know, when you're shorthanded, you know, and they split him and Matthews up, and he just kept saying, okay, fine, I'll just keep going. You know, if I'm John Tavares, I'm subtly going, geez, I love playing with Mitch.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to keep playing with Mitch. Like, you know, and Austin Matthews is probably going, yeah, you know, me and Willie are going pretty good. But Mitch is one of those players to me that just does so many things to help everybody else and the team. If that doesn't scream most valuable player, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it should be getting more noise. I mean, it doesn't matter because the Hart doesn't get handed out in November.
Yeah.
It doesn't. But the fact that the Leafs are so depleted, you know, on the back end, their goalies have been out. Marner's been phenomenal. And what's interesting with Nylander is I wonder if Keith looks at it, because we keep focusing on Matthews. You know, I mentioned these stats earlier, Craig, that through the month of November, the Leafs have played 14 games. Nylander's got 15 points in 14 games. 9 of those points are goals. And only 2 of those 14 games did he go without a point. So at what point, if you're Keith, do you look at it and say, I don't want to take Matthews away from Willie, because Willie's flying. Like, why would I mess with what Willie's bringing to the table right now?
Yeah, I agree with you, Brian. And so let's take it one step further. I think this serves the Maple Leafs so well going into the playoffs. You know, teams are going to throw different things at you. And now for Sheldon to know that he has a couple of duos that can work well together, he can switch it up however he wants to. More, just as importantly, those players are comfortable now moving around a little bit. I think that's a real advantage for the Toronto Maple Leafs going forward.
I also think, you know, if you throw in something too, Craig, is I think it was important for, like, the start of John Tavares to keep him rolling. And, you know, talk coming into the season, whether it was fair or unfair, you know, expectations were a little bit lower. And to me, he's had a fantastic, been one of the most consistent, outside of Mitch Marner, I think he's been one of the most consistent performers for the Leafs. So instead of being a secondary support guy, you've kept him chugging and keep him rolling along. And I think Marner's a big part of that too, giving him the looks. And, you know, Willie and Matthews have chemistry, but I think it was Marner being added to Tavares is keeping him consistent rolling to that production. And I think it's really important to have Tavares out behind Matthews producing night in and night out. He's very important to the team.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know, just the way you described John, I mean, we know that John's been a really good, consistent player over the course of his career. But, you know, regardless, I mean, that's the one thing I think you can always rely on from John Tavares. Whatever level he's at, and obviously he's not the same player today that he was at 24, although he's not far off of it, is that you know you're going to get that consistent best production effort out of John Tavares, and that's a really, really positive thing. And I agree with you, Jamie, that, you know, if you're playing with Mitch Marner, you got to take advantage of Mitch Marner's immense skills. John Tavares is doing exactly that.
Craig, so they get Timmins. Why don't you just tell us how this plays out with this guy? Is this a bunting situation? Is this guy probably going to be in the, like, just... I remember him in Buffalo at the juniors, and he was a flat-out stud. That was a long time ago. What goes on here with this transaction?
Jeff, he's played 105 games in the previous 4 seasons and this year total. He doesn't have any games under his belt. His development because of injury has stagnated. And, you know, it's great that they make a trade for him, but how are you going to get him into the lineup? How are you going to get him playing?
Why isn't he in the minors then playing?
The theory is that he'll get claimed on waivers. Well, all I know is this. That's the theory, right? But, like, a player that's played 105 games that you know needs games. You know needs games to try to find his game. Because you're right, Jeff, he did have lots of potential. But he needs to find that game, and he needs to find confidence in his game. He's not doing it sitting in the stands. And so now he gets traded, and now maybe he gets picked up on waivers. But at the end of the day, if he doesn't play, I don't know how he's going to develop and help any team, let alone the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then you're going to expect the player to just jump in and having only played that number of games in the last 4-plus seasons and expect him to help? I don't see it. I really don't see it. I think if I'm Connor Timmins' agent, I'm saying, like, put him on waivers. If he gets picked up and you lose him, too bad. Too bad. You know what? We need him to play. We need him playing, not sitting up in the stands. I'll tell you what it's starting to reek like. It's starting to reek like the Frankie Corrado, Justin Hall situation. And I'm not trying to say that, but players need to play.
Look what happened to Frankie. He ended up in TSN radio with us.
I think that's fine.
That's a win. Isn't that a win?
Borderline upgrade.
I'm just saying, he ended up with us.
Yeah.
He aspired to that, Jeff. That was his ultimate goal.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, Yeah, it sounds like Connor Timmins will likely make his Leaf debut tomorrow. But, you know, in terms of the success of the team and the amount of wins, you got to bring up the goaltending and Matt Murray and what he's managed to do. There's another guy. A lot like, look, what you just said about Timmins, you could almost apply it to Murray. You know, he had established himself as an NHL player, but he hasn't played in 2 years. And, you know, it could not have started any worse. I feel like I'm saying that every other day, but it really could not have with him immediately going on IR. But, you know, he's had, what, seven starts since his return, six starts since his return. His numbers are off the charts. And he looks big. He looks comfortable. He looks confident. Like, he looks like the real deal right now.
And you know what else? I don't know if Jeff and Jamie and you, Brian, have noticed it. He also looks combative. He looks like he's in there fighting, and he's gonna, you know, he's not gonna take anything from anybody. And you know, I think a big part of goaltending is being defiant. And you know, and I think he's been defiant, looked comfortable, stretching out the way you need to as a goaltender, not favoring anything. And I think we know that Matt Murray, when he's played well, is a really good goaltender. That goes without saying. But he's showing that. And you're right, Brian. You know, you come out the way he did, all the questioning about his injuries, and legitimate questions, you know, considering his injury history. But, and then he gets hurt, but he's come back. And at a time when they needed really good goaltending, he has absolutely provided it in a big way.
You know, I was going to add on to that, Hayes. You said he looks really big. I don't see anybody complaining about his gear. Remember last year in the playoffs, Vasilevsky was like, everyone's like, his gear is oversized. Matt Murray's, what, 170 pounds?
Yeah,
he looks like
if
he's
that.
300 pounds in the net.
He looks
like
massive.
The one thing I've loved about his game is it's quiet. Like, you know, Craig, you just said he's combative in the net. When he gets scrambling, he just battles for pucks. But how many times yesterday did you see the puck just hit him in the crest? And just, yep. Like, calm, cool, control the rebound. Like, that's what I know. When he was at his best in Ottawa, which wasn't a lot, but when he was playing well and in a groove, it was a quiet game because he used
his
size to
his advantage.
You know what
I like, Doodles? When he scrambles for pucks, he stands back up. That's my favorite part.
He stands back up.
No, like he doesn't leave the ice. He doesn't call for the stretcher. He doesn't call for the trainer. He scrambles,
yeah. Yeah,
and then he gets
playing.
Back. He gets back up every time. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. No, it's,
he's played well.
That's the truth. Like
he's earned it.
I made a mental note of something that it was nothing, but he smothered a puck in traffic last night with like swag, and I was like, okay, that's interesting. Like it was. It just little things like that where like this guy
interesting and you like that.
I do. I was like, all right,
he's like,
I'll take that and then go ahead, drop it over there. Like it was kind of just routine. I'm like, it's okay. He looks like he's in the mood to play. You know, and that goes a long way. What do you make of the Vancouver Canucks? Well, admittedly, I have written them off every day of the year.
Won.
All they did, now they're winning games. Like are they legitimately back into this in your opinion, Craig, or what?
Well, they are. Because Calgary's like not playing all that well. Edmonton's not playing that well. You look at the wild card in the Western Conference. St. Louis isn't playing that well. Minnesota isn't playing that well. So there's a path. I mean, obviously Seattle and Vegas are, you know, at the top of the division. LA's kind of put themselves in that kind of layer above those teams. But, you know, I thought, write them off. But when other teams around you flounder and then you get on a winning streak, you can get back in it. And there it is. There's Bruce. Bruce, there it is. I mean, they have lots of firepower. I believe they just got to go play with their strength, and that's offense. And Spencer Martin's come in and played really nicely. You know, the Demko's struggled a little bit or maybe not played at the same level that he did last year. But bottom line is Spencer Martin's come in and played really nicely. And here's the Canucks now kind of finding their way back into the hunt. And they're right there when you look at the Western Conference wildcard situation.
Yeah, they sure are. Well, listen, good for Bruce Boudreau. We'll see what happens out there in Vancouver. It's going to be a fun one tonight in Calgary, so enjoy that game. Craig, we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
We will, and I'm surprised you guys weren't Vladdy Jr. at the plate. I gave you a batting practice fastball with Jamie. It was a batting practice fastball for you when we talk about meeting on your turf. You didn't ask me where I met you. It was always in the movie theater on. You bought popcorn.
That's
well,
right.
There's nothing wrong with that. But you had to give me heck once a week all the time. So
He didn't pick up on the cues. He just thought you were his buddy, Craig.
Yeah, I just thought you wanted to go see movies.
Thanks, Craig.
Okay, see you guys.
There's Craig Button joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream tour.
What the hell you guys were just talking about?
So he talked about, you said, the Huberto situation. Did you ever have to? And Craig's like, no, I used to go and, you know.
Where they were comfortable.
So he goes, he met me for movies a few times. So obviously he had to tune me up once or twice at some point. He met on my terms. He went and met me
for
a movie.
Isn't it awkward, the two-hour movie? I would be like, okay, bud, I get it. I suck right now. You can go after the credits.
Right. How about we'll line up for popcorn, chew me out, and then you gotta leave.
Yeah. How about you buy me some corn, lay into me as much as you want. It's like the homeless guy that says, make fun of me for $5. It's like, buy me popcorn, chew me out, and then get out of my face.
You gotta get out of here. You gotta get out of here.
It was fine. I, you know what? Now it's bringing up memories as to. I don't think I got chewed out for my play. That's the difference. So
yeah, it was probably other stuff. To movies too
exactly,
often.
Exactly. Or who knows what it was.
Anyway, build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. All right, confirm or deny in just over a half an hour. Chris Johnston will join us. On the Leafs, you know, recent run. We'll get back into the Raptors' win last night, the Monday Nighter. Jeff Saturday having his first rookie coach moment last night. And the World Cup continues. The Americans are through. The English are through. Canada's got one more game. Meaningless for them, but should it possibly still mean something in terms of the way it's celebrated? We'll get into that still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, confirm or deny in about a half an hour. Chris Johnston still to come. Saw Tiger Woods speaking today. And,
boy,
Tiger's
a run at Norman, eh?
Honestly, Noodles, that was what I was about to say. The only thing I took out of the whole presser was he hates Greg Norman.
Like, a run at him.
It's all, he just hates Greg Norman. They all hate Greg Norman.
Well, isn't the rumor, one of the rumors out there, that guys on LIV are starting to hate him as well?
Greg Norman? Probably.
Yeah, which is a bad sign for Greg Norman.
Wow. How could they hate Norman when he literally lined their pockets with flat-out cash?
But not his money. Not his money.
But right? he went to bat to make that happen, did he
not?
Yes,
he definitely did. But if you're DJ, do you think Dustin Johnson cares about anything on earth?
Well, the only reason to hate Greg Norman if you were on the LIV Tour is one reason, Hayes. And that's, he might be preventing these players because of the hatred for him from playing in the majors.
Exactly.
Because they keep saying the same thing. Tiger said it today. You know, if Greg's not there, maybe we can talk to those guys. But as long as Greg's there, big time problem. So it's like, if you're on the LIV Tour and you're Cam Smith, you might be thinking, Greg Norman might be preventing me from playing in major championships because everybody in the golf world hates his guts, and they say they won't even chat and take away the file, or they claim against the PGA Tour. It's all Greg Norman. So there's one reason to hate the guy if you're on LIV.
Yeah. Well, I think you've interpreted exactly what's going on here. I think Tiger is not speaking to the Saudis or to Norman. He's speaking to Cam Smith and Dustin Johnson. And, like, that's who they want, a mutiny where the players are like, get this guy out of here. You know, like, why? Like,
yeah, but Greg Norman's got to be thinking, hang on a sec, just as Noodles mentioned, I lined your pockets up and I started this whole thing and I'm getting the boot here?
But Greg Norman, think about how many people he's probably sewered over his career. Like, he can't be surprised that the knives are coming out and they're looking for his back, right? Like, how many times is Greg Norman reportedly absolutely, you know, torched a business deal or, you know, whatever it is.
Just absolutely skewered people. The guy should just put on a mankini and wheel down.
Not going down without a fight. You gotta
believe.
Are
you kidding me? He loves, dude. He's posting videos, like edited videos, like of him getting on private birds, getting off at the site, walking around the golf course with his tight shorts, and it's outrageous the videos this guy's posting just to promote himself running live. Outrageous.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, is he that, like, did he have a reputation before? This is where it's, you lose me. Was he always known as a jackass? Or
guy was kind of like, this guy had a Tiger Woods flair back in the 80s, man. Like, when he teed it up, he was the number one player for
That's
a long
what I
time.
Mean. Like,
yep. He hit the golf ball farther than everyone. And he had the hat and the hair and the shark and everything. Like, he was dialed in for a good 6 to 7 year period. And after that, he had the shark at Augusta, and then things just went south for him.
Yeah, he got too big for his own britches, and he wanted – listen, a lot of the stuff he was preaching, the tour has now done, right, reluctantly. Yeah.
And there was Jack and there was Arnie, but that guy, he was diving into some big bucks with the shark logo.
He was making a fortune.
Max Fly, I think he was dialed in with. He was making big bucks.
Is he one of the biggest – we'll just say athletes that is – the most unlikable, almost like a villain. Like, he might be one of the biggest stars because you said it. There was a 6-7 year.
The villain thing is, it's because of Liv and what he's done, taking guys and plucking guys away and turning against. He started the rival tour against the PGA Tour. Of course, he's going to be viewed as the villain. But I think before that, he was just known as an unbelievable talent that choked his guts out at Augusta and was a bit of a jackass. Like, isn't that kind of Greg Norman?
Yeah, I think this has been amplified because of his role in Liv.
Right.
Yes. But obviously, like, Tiger clearly has not liked him for a long time. Like, if Tiger had any relationship with the guy, he could reason with him to an extent. He obviously hates him. And I don't know the full backstory there. I'm sure it's been reported on. But that's kind of what came out of it today. Like, Tiger's not playing in the Hero. He had more procedures done. You know, he talked about how much he hopes to play in the future. But really, he hates Greg Norman. And
that's what I got out of it. Like, he wasn't even, like, shining it up. It was just basically, like, as long as the lawsuit's on, as long as this guy's involved, it's a non-starter. Like, that's what I got out of
it. He's
got
to go. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's a bummer that Tiger's not playing this weekend. But we'll see him at the PNC. We'll see him at the match coming up, I think, next week. And he's going to be riding carts for those events. So he's willing to do that. But for an actual, like, sanctioned, legitimate event, he said he won't take a cart.
Right.
So he got plantar fasciitis, so he's not playing this weekend. Canada-Morocco on Thursday. I missed the show yesterday, so couldn't get into everything that took place over the weekend. But I will say it is fairly tangible, the air let out of the balloon when you've been eliminated. Like, they
I don't
still
even think the panel's doing off day hits anymore.
It's wild how quickly it goes from, like, I can't wait,
I
can't
wait. They had 4 days. It was like 4 days of 30-minute-long panels on the Herdman comments. And now that they're done, it's like, yeah, we'll see you here on Thursday, back for the game.
Back to a recap.
Yeah. It's a totally different vibe. I mean, that's just the nature of sports.
Yeah.
Like, this is a perfect example of the difference between a friendly and the real deal. Like, yes, it's a legitimate World Cup match, and if they win it, it's a massive accomplishment. And I'm looking forward to seeing it and see what they've got. And they're playing for something, because Morocco's in it to win it, and Croatia's playing Belgium, and both of them are in it to win it. So it's
everybody's in it to win it when you get to that level.
Exactly.
But they showed up there. They did get a goal, and then they got absolutely crushed.
They got
I thought it was going to be 10-1, guys. I swear to God. Like,
they
the
really
goalie
got
made,
outplayed.
The goal was exciting. I was sitting with a few guys from the crew. Like, we were just sitting down. All of a sudden, they score. So I'm like,
awesome.
Oh, my God, they're in one.
30 like, seconds is, in. It was incredible. It was like me and Al's brother and Luke Wilson were playing the backfield, and those guys were wheeling around us
like we
weren't even out there.
It was tough after that because, like, I got up and I, like, at about the 30-minute mark, I went up to my room and just watched it by myself, and I was like, "Ooh, this is
you could
the
you
limited
could feel
soccer.
It.
This is not. I'm not trying to jam these guys up.
No, it's the truth, though.
But the limited amount of soccer I watched, that was as dominating as a performance from the opposition as you could ever see.
Oh, there's no way of sugarcoating it. Like, Canada had a remarkable start. And then they were back on the attack right after they scored. I'm like, wow, this really is going to be like Belgium, only they've got on the board. Yeah. And what's clear is they had to get the result against Belgium. That was the one. They had to get it. They had to at least tie, if not win, because Croatia was just too good. Everyone's detailed the strength of their midfield, the attack, and from about the 30-minute mark onward, it was not even close. Like, Croatia just rolled over them. And the Herdman comments, I don't believe for a second that that's what led to Croatia sparking. They were showing up. They had to win. They had a draw against Morocco. It's the World Cup. They were in the World Cup final 4 years ago. They're a great team. And they showed up to play. They showed up to win. But it gave them the opportunity to take a jab at Herdman, right? Oh, like, you got to win the match to take a jab afterwards and say, hey, thanks for making those comments and playing head games in reverse. But I've been a bit surprised by how many Canadians have been quick to kind of jump on Herdman. You know, like, you can have your own opinion on whether or not you think he should have said it publicly. That's totally fine. But the amount of people that are, like, holding it against him, and when you think of all he's done for this program, like, he's been immensely important.
Dude, that's just the fake outrage in people today. I'm sure somebody tweeted this out, because this is a favorite tweet of people right now. John Herdman with the comments about Croatia, period. I'm literally shaking. That's what people love tweeting right now.
I'm literally shaking.
I saw what you did at the grocery store. You butted in front of that person. Period. I'm literally shaking. Stop it, people. Like you said, Hayes, the guy's done a lot for the program. If you asked him, I think he said it himself. I would take it back.
He wouldn't say it publicly.
He tried to be heroic, and the coach tried to make a scene, and it backfired. It didn't work. Yep. I don't think those Croatian players went out there and said, we're going to shove it to this coach here.
They were in the World Cup final 4 years ago.
They knew they were going to dummy them. The comment had no big deal. But in the future, just be quiet and go play.
Yeah, but those players, they're not sitting in the room going, okay, we got to stick it to that coach over there. Half those players wouldn't even know his
wouldn't
name.
Wouldn't have a clue.
Wouldn't even know it. All they know is they've got to take care of their business. Croatia took care of their business. And the reporters, the fan base, all of that, they can have their fun with the comments. That's what it is. That's gamesmanship. That's, you know, I had no problem with it, but I don't think it backfired. I just didn't think it didn't work.
Well, it didn't happen. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Yes, that was the message.
Yeah.
As we addressed last week, every coach, manager in any sport would say the same thing. We got to go get these guys. We got to go get them.
Exactly.
We got to go beat them up. We got to find a way to get a win or get a result. Now, he said it privately, and then he said it publicly. That's where the line is drawn on whether or not that should happen. What he said publicly really was not anything that was, you know, anti-Croatian or anything like that. I mean, let's be sensible about this. He was speaking generally in sports talk, locker room talk, in terms of trying to motivate his group. But the way I think it was portrayed and the way it was ultimately analyzed and then the way it was played out was Croatia, a kind of borderline superpower soccer nation, is like, who are you guys? you know, and that's our reality. You know, it's been such a great ride for Canada. They won CONCACAF. They played incredibly well. You've got a guy in Alphonso Davies who's a star in Europe. That's something we've never had, ever.
But those comments wouldn't even have got a rise out of them in their locker room.
Croatia's like, what? Like, we're Croatia, and you're Canada. And it sucks for us because we're on the wrong side of it.
And the one kid said it best after the game. He goes, we basically just showed who effed up who.
Exactly.
And that's the end of the story.
And if the comments were made or not, it still would have been 4-1, and Croatia would have been rolling. Because they're just better than Canada.
You know, at this point, and there's something to build off, and it's exciting. I saw one tweet. I kind of chuckled because, you know, again, for context, and I it was like, it came back to hockey, and it was like, is this what, when Canada beats a team 10-1 and the other team celebrates the one goal they got on Canada? Like, I kind of chuckled about it. It's like, because all of Canada was so fired up about Davies' goal, right? Like, and so you should. It was something so cool. But there's a lot of work to be done here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the first goal at the World Cup, and it was the biggest moment. And I think, honestly, that goal will probably be more of a memory than even if they win on Thursday. Because if you win on Thursday, you've done so in a fashion where you're already out of the tournament. You know, the air has been let out of the balloon.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a significant marker. You get a win at the World Cup. Yeah. I think a tie, let's be honest, you got to crawl before you walk, before you sprint, you get a tie, that's something they've never done. But the goal, also because it was, like the difference is sometimes Canada will beat a team 10-1 and it's 8-0 when they score their one goal. Like Davies scored to put them up 1-0 and you're like, wow, here we go. You know, like it's, they're in the lead. They might actually win here or find a way to do this. But that's, you know, it was incredibly substantial and historic and an awesome moment. Yeah. An awesome, awesome moment.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see.
There's a lot of work to be done. But you know what? Thursday we'll be paying attention. We'll be fired up about it. And, you know, if they get a win or they get a draw, then it's good, you know, good for them. Continue to build. Like, this is what they're trying to do, is continue to grow the program, the men's program. The women's program, we know what it's all about, you know, but it's the men's program. There's lots of work to be done there.
Yep, it's building blocks. But you made it. You scored a goal. Now try to do something on Thursday, regroup, and guess what? You're already there at 26.
Exactly.
You're there. You're hosting.
By the way, guys, before we go to break here, I am getting a lot of texts from some big shot buddies of mine that are just destroying Greg Norman and say that he is probably the biggest piece of garbage on planet Earth.
Really?
Oh, God. I can't repeat the language.
Well, that's
but
where
this guy is world-class piece of garbage. Several texts coming in.
That was where I was going, guys. It's like Norman was probably one of the greatest golfers of all time, correct? Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah,
great
player.
So, but he may not have been a great person and, like, very unlikable. And that's...
He was Don Johnson, where he just put on a face... And then the kids would be like, "Can we have your autograph?" And he'd be like, "Screw off, kids."
Tin cup.
He was Don Johnson in tin cup in real life.
Yeah,
I love it. Well,
those guys are, I mean, you don't condone that type of behavior, but those are the characters where you hear about him. You're like, how does that guy exist? Like, how did that guy get to a point where he's in rooms with some of the most important people around the world, and yet he just, you wouldn't believe his attitude. Like, his general attitude is
but
a
dude,
shock.
I'm not going to call it attitude. There were some nights where you lose 8-1.
Sure.
And the coach is all up in your grill, and the GM's all up in your grill wanting to go have popcorn with you. And you got to drive out, and there's just hundreds of people
Fine.
With their
some
teddy
nights.
Bears.
Some
and
nights.
You just drive by, and you say, just, I can't.
I'll give you
I
some nights.
Yeah.
I'll give you some nights. I'm not giving you 365.
Yeah,
I'm not giving
exactly.
you 365 days a year.
As nowadays, you know. There are, as much as you may have an off night meeting somebody or whatever, there should be 20 stories to back it up on the positive side. Because you're
exactly.
right. Like,
even I love when some of my buddies would say, I saw, you know, movie star in LA, and I was like, hey man, and the guy just blew me off. It's like, the guy doesn't know you. The guy doesn't like he doesn't owe you. Like, I love the response. So I saw you know, this hockey player, and he just blew me off. And it's like, what would you want? Like, what were you looking for? Were you looking for the 20 minutes?
That's unfair. Yeah. There's a middle ground, though. That's the whole point. There's a middle ground. You don't have to be the nicest, most gregarious person ever that does everything. But you also
don't
have to be.
I'm not even famous, but I love when people, like, they give me the horse eye when it's like, hey, sign my jersey with your Sharpie. I'm like, I don't have a Sharpie on me. Well, you don't have a Sharpie? Come on. I'm just like, why would I have a Sharpie? And you're giving me the gears now. The horse eye. You get a horse eye for no Sharpie. It's like, I don't wake up and put on my sweatpants. And because that's all I wear now, and put a Sharpie in my pocket.
Wow. That's the moral of the story, buddy, is whenever you, I'm going to say this, whenever you go out with the alumni coat, you need a Sharpie on that inside.
That's valid.
The inside pocket nowadays.
There should be a Sharpie pocket on
exactly,
every alumni,
with the alumni coat on.
All right. Confirm and deny in 15 minutes. Chris Johnston still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
I need somebody to throw the flu game meme at me. Like Jordan being carried off the court with a haze face.
No.
I need the flu game.
This has been a good show by Hayes. Fighting through it, too. I agree.
It's the Jordan flu game.
It really
I
is.
I need the meme where he's sagging and Scottie Pippen's got him. He's carrying.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand he was probably sick, but was that a hero move? Was he playing that up? Or
well, oh, yeah. I mean, that was at the end of the game after he'd already dropped 40 or whatever, and they won the game, I think. Like, it's
Yeah. I need that with me and Noodles carrying Hayes, the flu game meme.
Or someone, the other one. Here's the other one. Do you remember the college coach in the hospital bed?
That's Hugh Freeze. He's
Dude,
got
he just
job.
Got hired, man.
He just got
Auburn.
He's down at Auburn.
I know.
He's at a powerhouse SEC school in a dental chair.
Yeah.
Hugh Freeze is exactly what I need.
That's
Did you hear the story on Hugh Freeze? Which to me seems like a pretty significant red flag for hiring a guy to oversee young men. They reportedly, though he shot this down but kind of didn't, they told him if you're going to take the gig, you cannot be on social media anymore. They don't trust him on social media.
Little Kurt Rambis going, you think?
Exactly. Like... How do you trust him to run your program if he can't have a Twitter account?
Oh,
like, what
God.
Kind of checks and balances is that? Like, hey,
it's because you don't want to place the phone call saying, can you stop liking Big Butts Don't Lie Instagram pics, please?
Exactly. But, hey, look, what is the sales pitch? Hey, I love the offense you run, but, man, your Twitter following is outrageous here. Can
your you cut likes that off? Are outrageous.
Outrageous likes. Like, that just seems like there's Hugh Freeze. Get my face on Hugh
That
Freeze.
Is Hayes running the show today. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I was Lindy Ruffing in between the break there. I didn't think I was going to make it back. All right, we got a final hour coming up. Confirm or deny, Chris Johnston. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.